series on living on purpose. And we have a word that I hope will encourage your hearts. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. This is a Bible exposition church. That means we teach the Bible verse by verse by verse. And we pray that God's power will be released as His word is being revealed to you. If you have it, please stand. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Reading from the English Standard Version of the Holy Writ. Word reads as follows: For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. For we are His masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk. Father, what we know not, teach us. What we are not, make us. What we have not, give us. For Jesus' sake, we pray. Amen. May be seated in the presence of the Lord. We live in a world obsessed with activity. People are constantly busy doing something or nothing. But activity without clarity leads to exhaustion. What gives value to your actions is not just what you do, but why do you do it? Many people believe that doing good things make you a good person. That is not true. Bad people can do good things. Some even think good works are the way to earn God's approval. But Scripture tells a different story. We're not saved by good works, but we are saved for good works. So the question is not if good works matter, but why they matter. What is God's purpose for good works in your life? I want to present this morning three purposes for good works in the life of the Christian. Because we're going to look at when purpose drives your good works. Number one, good works, if you're taking notes, reveal God's work in us. Ephesians 2, verse 10, the A clause of that verse says, say my last name. Don't say my last name. I know the song says say my name, but don't say my name like that. So we were created like that by design. And in Christ, we were created to be like Him in the world. God is the master craftsman, shaping us into something new. Even though we don't feel that we're new, we don't look new, because this new is not physical, it's metaphysical, it's beyond the physical, it's spiritual, right? It's real, it's eternal. It's at one point in time where you're convicted by the gospel of Jesus Christ and confess Him as Lord, and you are transformed. But then there's a transformation that is taking place until you become what He intended you to be before the creation of the world. And you may ask, Pastor, what is that? That's Romans 8:29. For whom He foreknew, He predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. It was always God's intention to make us like Jesus. And so as followers of Jesus Christ, as disciples of Jesus Christ, we are called to be like Him in the world. When we walk in good works, we demonstrate the transformation that salvation produces within us. And Paul prefaces his demand for good works by the statement, for we are God's masterpiece. We are God's workmanship. Embrace that. Paul calls this work of God a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is, not will be, but is right now a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. When God made the first man, Adam, who represents all of humanity, He made him perfectly equipped to do all the works that God made him to do. But Adam failed, as we know. And since that time, from God's perspective, even the best of the good works of Adam and his posterity, who is the human race, have been bad good works. Why are they bad, preacher? Because they don't bring glory to God. Some of you do stuff for you. You don't do it for others. Do you do things for the other's sake, for his sake, for her sake, or do you do it for your sake? You do it to say, well, I do this. Well, I pay that. Well, I gave that. And you're not doing it for the well-being and the good of the person. You're doing it for the praise and glory of self. Bad good works. But now God, through Christ, recreates, regenerates, right? Makes alive the sinner through faith in the Son. Look at Ephesians again. Now I want us to move up a couple verses. Ephesians. Thank you, Lord, for that insight. Verse 5. If you dare say amen. Ephesians 2, verse 5. Even when we were dead in our spiritual trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Isn't that wonderful? Let's carry on. Verse 6. And raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. For what purpose? So that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. You look at the world. You say the world is messed up. Let me just say to you all, the world has always been messed up. Oh, the world is in trouble, Reverend. The world has always been in trouble. Oh, Reverend, the world is evil. The world has always been evil. Men have always been evil toward each other. There's always been inhumanity to humanity. There's always been wars and rumors of wars. This is nothing new. The question is, why all of this? Why did God allow verse 7, so that, this is the purpose, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved. Through faith, it is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, lest any one of us should brag and boast. Do you see it? God wants to put us in a position where our good works are good works because they glorify God. They're not good works because we had the surplus financially to do it, or we had the time to achieve it, or we had the ability to make it happen, but because we want to glorify the God who recreated us in his Son, Jesus Christ, for the praise of his glory. So why is all this going on? Some of the end times, God can put us on display. Look at the trophies of my grace and the riches of my mercy that was lavished upon undeserving men and women. Do you see it? In the words of St. Augustine, not able not to sin, that was in the first Adam. Now able not to sin, that's the new Adam, Jesus. And able to do good works, that pleases God. We do it for his sake, for his glory, for his honor. Even if we say we're doing this out of philanthropy or humanitarian efforts, it still should go to the glory of God as a believer. Because if it doesn't, it's a bad good work. Jesus says in Matthew 5:15, nor do people light a lamp and put it under the table, but on the lampstand, and it gives what? Light to the entire room. Good works are not about putting you in the spotlight. They're about reflecting God's glory. People should see the love, the excellence, the integrity, the mercy, the justice in your actions and be drawn to the one who sent you because you are a vessel of good works, not the source of good works. When your purpose drives your good works, people won't just thank you. Isn't that the ultimate goal? For the world to see your good works in such a way that they see that this is more than just good works. This is God at work. Some of us are just satisfied with our good works. If folks never see God at work in you, that's what he wants. To put us on display as his masterpiece to the world. Purpose does this. It shines the light back on the source. It shines the light back on the source, who's the Heavenly Father. A sculptor doesn't tie his sculpture when he sculpts it. He puts it on display. Brothers and sisters, God wants us to show his grace and his power and his love and his mercy and his kindness through a demonstration of our living. That's the purpose. The purpose of good works is to reveal God's work in you. Secondly, good works, here it is, fulfills or completes our purpose in Christ. It completes it. It fulfills it. Ephesians 2:10, the latter part of that, B part, created in Christ Jesus for good works. You see it? We are not just saved from sin. We're saved for a purpose. That purpose includes spiritual edification. You don't have to give, but giving is a part of your service, your reasonable service. You don't have to fast, but that's a part of your personal spiritual growth. You were not saved by your works, but you were saved for good works. Good works prove, gives evidence to the reality of your faith in the risen Savior. James 2, verse 17 and 18, the Apostle James says, "So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have work. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.'" See, works gives evidence that we've been saved by grace. Martin Luther states, "We are saved by faith alone, but the faith that saves is never alone." True saving faith comes with sanctifying works, sanctifying service, sanctifying giving, sanctifying forgiving, sanctifying loving. Come on. Sanctifying putting up, enduring with others. The moment you're redeemed by grace, God assigns to your life and my life a kingdom mission. You were created to serve, not to sit, not to soak, and not to sour. Remember, Jesus taught his disciples in Matthew 20, around verses 26 and 28, he taught them, you know, before the mother of James and John, sons of Zebedee, came to their mom. She bowed before Jesus, "Lord, in your kingdom, put my son James on your right and John on your left." And Jesus said, "That's not my decision to make." And then he went into a discussion about how the kings of the earth, dictators, despots, they rule over people. They lord it over people like gangsters, like criminals. But he said, it shouldn't be so for you in the kingdom. And then he says in verse 26, "But whoever would be great among you must be your servant." Well, we don't want to be bad. That's not on the platform that can be visible, being a servant. Sometimes it's going to a person who's sick's house and giving them food. That's a servant. That's great. That's greater than me standing here preaching to you. And maybe going to the hospital, sitting with a person who at the point of departing from this life to the next. That's great. That's great service. Going to the nursing homes, serving those people with no hope and no understanding that there is a life after death and you're there to be a witness. That's great. Helping your neighbor with something they can't fix, they can't work out without your understanding, your expertise, your willingness. That's great work. Being concerned about the downtrodden, the up and the out. You know, you got the up and out, you got the down and out. You're ministering to both of them. That's great service. Jesus said, if you're going to be great, you don't want to be great like the world defines greatness. You got to be great like the kingdom of God defines greatness. You have to be a diakonos. That's a table waiter. You know, you go to restaurants and you get this deacon come to your table. It's a deacon. It's a table waiter. They get paid very little. That's why you need to always give to your deacon. Your table waiter. 18% now, 20% sometimes. Help them out. So he said, be a table waiter. And whoever be first among you must be a doulos, a bond servant, a slave. Even as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve by giving his life a ransom for many. The greatest in the kingdom of God is not the one who sings well, al-Qaeda states, as Martin Luther King Jr., for some of you who haven't been taught that in these school systems today, because they're attacking black history, which is American history. He said this, everybody can be great because everybody can serve. You don't have to have a college degree to serve. You don't have to make your subject and verb match. You only need a heart, listen to this, full of grace and a soul generated by love. That's a servant's heart. When purpose drives your good works, beloved, you're not just helping the poor. You're reflecting the heart of God. You're not just mentoring youth. You're investing in legacy. You're not just working hard. You're glorifying God with your labor. You're working as unto the Lord. Good works are the mode of operation of being united with Christ. Good works are how we live out our faith in this world. The purpose is not just to get to heaven. It's to bring heaven's values to earth. It's to be like Jesus in the world. Let every act of kindness be tied to God's kingdom. Acts, how does this advance God's purposes? If I'm going to participate, how does it impact the eternal glory of God? And not just a momentary glory of the moment. You were saved to serve the kingdom purposes of God. And lastly, God, good works that God performs in the life of the believer, here it is, glorifies God and blesses us. Some of you don't realize you've been blessed to be a blessing. That's what God told Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, 1 through 4. He said, I'm going to bless you and you're going to be a blessing. But he said, to all nations. Not just one nation, not just Israel. All nations. But Paul explains here, he said, which God prepared beforehand. That means he prepared them in eternity. Before there was an earth, before there was a universe, before there were angels, he prepared it in eternity past. That we should what? Walk in them. Paul explains the work and faith dilemma well. We don't have to do a certain number of good things before Jesus accepts us. That's not how it works. But once we are his, we're in the process of transformation into God's masterpiece. We are his workmanship. Notice what he said earlier, for we are God's workmanship. So that means he equipped us and built us spiritually in such a way that we can do the things that he calls us to do. Whenever he calls us, whenever he commands, we're capable of achieving and fulfilling that command. And our good works are a consequence, a result of God's working in us. Redemption isn't just about us. It's also about our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Listen to what Titus says in Titus 2, 13 and 14. Waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us. That means to purchase us back from the slavery of sin. To redeem us, purchase us from all lawlessness, and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, who are zealous, enthusiastic about good works. How about you? Are you happy about doing good works for people? And you said, I got too much work to do. I got no time working for other folks, serving other folks. I got to serve myself. 14 says, and let our people learn to devote themselves to good works. So if you don't feel like it, you have to learn how to do this. It's a learning curve. It's not automatic. Because you're sinful. Because we have natural proclivities and bents towards self, not towards others. We are more inward, self-centered than we are other-centered. We may talk about altruism and being good and doing good, but we're not that at the core. We're really at the core selfish. So we have to learn, as the people of God, how to devote, commit ourselves to good works. So as, he said in this verse, to help cases of urgent need and not be unfruitful. God, pray your good works in eternity. God is so detailed, so specific. They're not random. They're part of his divine plan that he prepared, that divine path for you to walk in. You see it? Every act of kindness, service, generosity, compassion matters. Good works don't save you, but they point others to the one who does. The French theologian John Calvin states the first part of a good work is the will, volition. The second is vigorous effort, behavior, actions. In the doing of it, but remember this, God is the author of both. Whether you will or you act, God is at work in you to will and to act and to do what pleases him. It is therefore robbery from God to claim anything to yourself, either in the will or the behavior. As Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give your Father in heaven the glory. What is the light that Jesus is commanding his disciples to shine? It's not a flashlight. The light refers to the visible expression of a believer's transformed life. Isn't that wonderful? Specifically, the good works, which reflect God's character and point others to him. More specifically, the light includes, number one, good works, acts of kindness, righteousness, compassion, justice, truth, and love, Christ-like character, living with integrity, living with humility, mercy, and purity of heart. Then it involves a gospel witness, because whatever you do for people, that meets their natural needs. Always remember, the greatest need is not natural, it's spiritual. And so as you minister to the natural realities of life, you do it with the opportunity to shine the eternal gospel of Jesus into their life. You explain to them why you're doing what you're doing. Living in a way that reflects God's presence and truth in the dark world. The light in Matthew 5:16. It is the visible evidence of a godly life that brings glory to God. It's not about self-promotion, but about living in such a way that others see God such a